With sincere gratitude, I sit before you. Thank you all very much for being here tonight.
Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Lord Sri Krishna tells that wherever my devotees are gathered together to sing my glories, to share their realizations about me, I am forever living in that place. Srila Prabhupada often spoke that the place where people are taking intoxicants or the brothel, that place is in the mode of ignorance, tamaguna. The city is in the mode of passion, rajaguna. The forest and the countryside is sattvaguna, the mode of goodness. But then Prabhupada became very strong. He said, but the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Now when Srila Prabhupada was speaking about the temple, Hare Krishna, Shuddhi Kirti Brahma. He wasn't talking just about a building. He was speaking about wherever devotees were gathered together with Krishna in the center. Machchita matgata poda. Wherever they were gathered together to speak the glories of Krishna, to share Krishna with each other, and keep Krishna in the center of their lives. That is Vaikuntha. Because it is the residence of the Supreme Lord. Years ago, in the 70s, I resided in New Vrindavan in America for some time. And Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, and there was a purport where Srila Prabhupada wrote that our New Vrindavan community in America is none different than Goloka Vrindavan, because devotees are gathered there with Krishna in the center. So some of the devotees became very proud. You see, we're Goloka Vrindavan. You should leave whatever temple you're in and come here, because this is Goloka Vrindavan. That tendency is always there in religious circles. The tendency. But then I saw Prabhupada wrote that wherever the devotees are gathered together, in any temple, anywhere in the world, in that spirit, that is Goloka Vrindavan. Because Krishna is present, where the devotees come together with him in the center. Material existence is a place of ahankar, the false ego, where everyone tries to put themselves in the center, either themselves or their extended selves in the form of their caste or their race or their sex or their religion or their community or their nation. Whatever they identify with is in the center of existence. And Srila Prabhupada gave example of the pond. When you throw stones in different places of the pond, from each stone is forms a circle where other circles begin to expand and they all collide with each other. But if all the stones are thrown in the same place, then the circles are in harmony with each other. There's no conflict. Srila Prabhupada often said the only problem in this world is a lack of Krishna consciousness. That means putting the illusory ego in the center of our existence. But as soon as we actually put Krishna in the center of our existence, our life comes in harmony. This is real yoga, the essence, the perfection of yoga, where we are united with Krishna. And we're united with each other in Krishna. And it was for this reason that Srila Prabhupada established temples all over the world. Not only large temples like Bhaktivedanta Manor, but temples in people's homes, temples in people's hearts. His books are temples. Each of Prabhupada's books is a temple, because it's a place where we find Krishna, where we are enlightened with Krishna. Krishna is not different than these books. And in this world, especially in the age of Kali, we need shelter. And Prabhupada took such risks, endured such hardships out of his compassion just to give us that shelter. Yesterday, Shruti Kirti Prabhu was telling me something that our very dear God sister, Amekala Devi, said to him. And her words were very simple, very sweet, but extremely profound. They really encapsulate in a very practical and realized way the essence of bhakti. Here she was, her body rapidly being ravaged by cancer, was disintegrating beyond anyone's imagination. And the amount of pain, the amount of inconvenience, and for most people, embarrassment. You can't control anything of your bodily functions. You need help for absolutely everything. And dwindling, and apparently dying. People can become very depressed in that situation. In fact, almost everyone does. Feel themselves completely useless, not just insignificant, but just useless. You have no value. You're just a burden to the world and to everyone around you. But by Prabhupada's grace, and how it was received by her own lifetime of sincerity, she spoke something that I'd like to share with you. At a time when she was feeling very useless, she awakened with this truth that I do have relevance because Krishna loves me. In fact, everyone has relevance because Krishna loves everyone. You see, it's not about you.
And it's not about me. It's about Krishna. Krishna's love for every living entity, being the seed-giving father and mother of everyone, is what gives us life and gives us unlimited value, importance, and relevance. If we see in terms of Maya or illusion, a person who does something materially good is considered relevant to other people who are in ignorance or passion or illusion. But the reality, the absolute truth, is Krishna. And Krishna loves every living being. And it's Krishna's love for us that gives us unlimited importance. And if we feel Krishna's love, if we understand Krishna's love to whatever extent, we realize that we have infinite importance. We have infinite value forever. And not like the type of feeling of importance within this material world that can make you proud. But feeling the relevance of our life on the basis of Krishna's love can do nothing but humble us. Because we understand this truth. Everyone's greatness just depends on Krishna. On Krishna's mercy. On Krishna's the source of all great. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. And bhakti is not just to realize our identity as spirit souls, but to understand the very essence of all religion. Prema Pamarta Mahan. How to love Krishna. But we can't really love Krishna without recognizing and experiencing how Krishna loves us. So simple. Spoken with such practical realization. But practically everything is there in that little statement. As insignificant as I am, as unqualified as I am, with however many shortcomings I have, however many mistakes I've made, I have eternal importance because by Krishna's causeless, infinite mercy, he loves me. And when we actually understand this, then we can realize the importance of everyone. Not just on the basis of what they've done or what they haven't done. Not just on the basis of who they are and what people think about them. But we recognize everyone on the basis of Krishna loves them. That was the beauty of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world from Vrindavan to the Bowery of New York and the Lower East Side, there were no Mahatmas. Nobody had Tilak. Nobody had Kantimala. Nobody had Japa Malas. No one was doing Japa walks in Central Park. People that were coming to him, most everyone was addicted to eating meat, having illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and had no clear conception of God. So much speculation. What attracted them to the path of bhakti? Essentially, it was Prabhupada's love. Prabhupada just loved everyone. And how is that possible? Because he was a very pure lover of Krishna. He was a devotee of the highest order. Krishna's love was coming through Srila Prabhupada. And he made everyone feel so relevant. He gave everyone such a feeling of importance. There were people who were, because of their feeling of total uselessness, frustration, or confusion, taking drugs, marijuana, LSD, hard drugs, drinking. Some of them were suicidal. But suddenly their life became beautiful because they understood Krishna loves me. And Prabhupada is giving me Krishna's love. Dina hina yata chilo hari namu tharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Narottam Thakur, he prays, and Prabhupada quoted often, that this is the testimony of the greatness of the holy name. Even Jagayan Madhai became pure saints by the grace of the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. The name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. Krishna's love is manifested through the hearts of his pure devotees, and especially through the name of the Lord, none different than himself. Now, it's easy for someone to sit on a Vyasasan, or whatever this is called, the speaker seat. It's easy for someone to, you know, sit and talk to crowds about how we have relevance because Krishna loves us. But when you're in such a state, as Srimati Amekala Devi was in, and speaking this with such joy, such realization, and finding such deep shelter, just knowing that really, whatever happens in this world, whatever happens to these bodies, Krishna loves us. That's one thing that will never change. Old age, deterioration, and death is certain. Prabhupada quoted the saying, sure is death. And when Prabhupada was in that last stage of his leelas in this world, he said, do not think this will not happen to you. But most of us were in our 20s. So theoretically, we believed whatever Prabhupada said. But it's hard to understand, really, with the heart. When I was with His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj for that last 8 weeks of his wonderful pastimes in this world, he said something to me that I'll never forget. I've heard it before, but when you hear it from somebody in that condition, it really makes sense. He said, I've been talking about how everyone has to die for 40 years. He said, we all talk about old age. Every lecture, practically, we talk about disease and the inevitability of death. He said, but it's impossible to actually understand what it means theoretically. You only know what it means. You can only really understand it when you're actually going through it.
It's very serious. Here we have a hospital in Bombay, and we see what happens when people are dying. The amount of fear, the amount of anxiety, the amount of frustration, the amount of hopelessness that's so often there. But for one who has been blessed by the mercy of a saint like Srila Prabhupada, for one who is actually connected to bhakti, can go through it with such grace. Amekala Devi, her grace, she passed through these over a year of fast disintegration, embarrassing circumstances, things that nobody ever wants to go through. We could sing about the art of dying and how nice it is and how we're eternal souls. And we could quote Bhagavad Gita. It's just a change of clothes. But when you're actually going through it, it's a humbling experience. Usually we realize how much we haven't realized. But that's the beginning of real realizations. Until we realize how much we don't know, we can't really begin to know. Because when we realize how much we don't know, we take shelter. Not just theoretical, we take shelter. We surrender. And yes, Her Grace Amekala Devi, she passed through those stages with grace. In any situation, I was told by her caretakers, there was always hope. And she told Shruti Kirti Prabhu that when things were at its worst state, Prabhupada appeared to her and smiled. And after Prabhupada appeared to her and smiled, she saw Krishna. And then she realized, it's all right. All this stuff really doesn't matter. Whatever I have to go through, Prabhupada's pleased with me. Prabhupada's with me. Krishna loves me. Unlimited hope in the most hopeless condition. Yes, due to our petty state of consciousness, sometimes we become so full of frustration and anxiety over reversals that happen to us in this world. We lose our grace, we criticize, we complain. Why is God doing this to me, of all people? Should be doing it to him or her, not me. God has his records incorrect. But when you're going through situations like what Her Grace Amekala Devi was going through, and you have with grace, with hope, and with gratitude, I have Krishna, I have Prabhupada. Yes, death's inevitable, and it's happening to me now. But that's not important. What's important is the gift that Prabhupada has given us. Krishna's love. So simple. the gopis, they had realized the highest essence of all philosophy. But they were not philosophers. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Radharani is complaining to Krishna in Kurukshetra. Says, you sent Uddhava to teach us Gyan, all this philosophical stuff. But we're not philosophers, we're not yogis, we're gopis. We just want to love you, and we want to feel your love, and we want to serve you. We are drowning in the ocean of separation, and we're being swallowed by the timangilla fish of our aspiration to serve you. So simple. And we are taught, I was just recently reading a purport of Prabhupada, and he said that there's a Bengali saying that whatever you do in life, it will all be tested at the time of death. Hare Krishna. What is going to be our gratitude? What is going to be our hope? What is going to be our love when we're going through that? So we are all just so grateful and so proud of Srimati Amekala Devi, because she really showed us how to pass that test by fully understanding that Krishna loves me and being grateful. And when the time comes, is letting the body go, knowing that Prabhupada and Krishna, that with open arms, are waiting for us, if we just remember them with that faith. She had a very hard life. Many ups and downs. Many sufferings from her childhood. She was very young. I believe in 1973, she met the devotees here in the UK. She was from Manchester. And despite all the hopelessness and the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties and all the cheating that she had to undergo in this material world, when she found Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, she found shelter. She found meaning. She found truth. And she surrendered her life. And in her devotional life, there were many ups and downs, many tribulations, many difficulties. And many people may have their different opinions. But one thing that's certain, she never gave up Prabhupada's lotus feet. She never gave up her conviction and her will to be faithful and loyal to Prabhupada in whatever way she could. She never gave up the path of bhakti, trying to search for some other alternative that may work better. This is a tendency, which is very great. This is very dangerous, because pure devotional service is very rare. All we have to do is try to really remain faithful. And even if we have difficulties, just pick ourselves up and hold on to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's lotus feet and never give up the path of bhakti, and Krishna's going to save us in the end. But our tendency is we have difficulty, or we're not tasting the nectar that we want immediately, so we look for other alternatives. Or we look for other, either alternatives instead of the path of bhakti, or we look for other things to mix in with the path of bhakti, because bhakti's just not enough. It's not working. I need to fortify it with some other stuff, some other theologies, other ideologies, other methods. But from what I've understood, Amekala Vike was always Vera Devi. She really, really held on to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Through thick, through thin, through everything. And was really a mother. Srila Prabhupada would often say that the closest thing to the soul's love for God in this world is a mother's love for a child. And I witnessed how Gurukulis and or second generation devotees from all over the world, so many of them, perhaps more than anybody else, at least from what I've seen, they considered her their mother because she cared about our second generation so much. She had her own children. Some of them are here tonight, Madhava, Deva, Kardama, Kartik, Vrindavan. Is there any others? So she had her own children, and she saw, you know, what they went through, the struggles they had to deal with trying to be a devotee in Western civilization when there's so many temptations and so many allurements, and also so many of the tragedies that took place within our own society involving our children. So she really saw practically the whole second generation like her own children. Prabhupada said, love is great to the degree it's pure, and it's unselfish, and it expands to include more and more people. Practically whenever I was coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor, I always got a notice of my schedule, and the top of the list practically always was Amekala Devi wants you to have a program with the Gurukulis and the second generation. Every time. I couldn't always do it. Sometimes because I couldn't do it. Usually because the people scheduling things couldn't fit it in. But usually it was always there. Every time it was on the schedule as a proposal, and she was always pushing, pushing, pushing. Because she considered me her son also. And I think she wanted all her sons to be together with all her daughters. And she wanted to expose the second generation more and more to associate with her godbrothers and godsisters. She really deeply cared. I'll say something about myself. I may become emotional because I'm just so happy to be with all of you. But it's very much because of her. Nobody really cared about me around here.
it was from, I've heard this from many God brothers and God sisters, it was Amekala Devi who was pushing the leadership of Bhaktivedanta Manor, invite Radhanath Swami to come here. Persistently invite Radhanath Swami to come here. You'll like him if he comes here. And when she pushes, what can you do? I think anybody who has experience knows what it's like. But it's always because she cares. And so I came, and as soon as I came, she was just so worried about, am I happy? Am I healthy? Am I getting the right food? Am I getting enough rest? And through that gesture, I somehow or other, now I get to associate with all of you. And I'm eternally indebted and grateful to her because she was very much a part of that. And one day I said to her something that I've said to many of my God sisters. Because she was asking about my health, and like all motherly God sisters ask. And I told her, I said, if you really care about me, please be my mother and take care of me. She said, all right, I will. I didn't know what I was getting into. She actually adopted me in her heart. And as soon as I'd come, she'd be checking, what are you eating? And you need more rest. You look tired. I can tell that you're very tired. You need more rest. You have to take rest by 10 o'clock. You have to end your program by this time, and you have to be in bed, and don't let Shruti Dharma Prabhu or any of these others talk to you till late at night. I have eyewitnesses. And many of you here may remember, it happened so many times, I'd be sitting, giving lecture and kirtan, and then afterward people would come and meet, and she'd be waiting. I'd see her, she'd be looking. And I'd look at her, and she'd look at me, and she'd go like this, like my mother did, like, not like, but... And I'd pretend I didn't see her. And she'd pretend that she didn't see that I didn't see her. And, you know, sometimes I just said I have to go because I actually was afraid of her. I wasn't afraid that she was going to spank me. I was afraid that she would be displeased with me. I really didn't want to displease with her because she had, it was really love, motherly love. She really cared. She'd really be nervous. She'd actually be in tremendous anxiety when I was up too late. I could see it, yes? She really was upset. And then she would come to the front and she would loudly proclaim, everybody has to go, Radhanath Swami has to take rest. And she'd clear out the temple. And I'd be walking out and people would start talking to me and she'd say, no, go out, don't talk to him, don't talk to him, he needs to take rest. How many of you remember seeing like that? Yes, it was a common thing. But it wasn't just a ritual. She really cared. It was actually a very pure, unselfish form of intimacy. Like a mother to a child. She cared about her God brothers. She cared that we were taking care of our health. She really, seriously worried.
And sometimes Prana Bandha Prabhu, Gauri Das Prabhu, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, you know, she would get really heavy on them, don't talk to him till late, and then they'd leave. And then when I was living upstairs, she would guard the door, make sure everybody was out of the room, made sure I was alone, I would just take rest, then she would go away. Then about 10 minutes after she went away, they would sneak back into the room. Now when the temple presidents and the leaders of the whole temple have to sneak back into the room, she has motherly potencies. And it was all coming from a really unselfish, she really cared. I asked her to be my mother, and she became my mother. And even when she was very sickly, you know, I talked to her on the phone, and she wouldn't say anything about her health. She would just say, are you getting enough rest? Are you eating the right foods? And yes, so many places in the world, I talk to the second generation and or the Gurukulis, and they tell me either a large group or individual group, they pass through London, and Amekala Devi Prabhu was always there to welcome them, to make arrangements for them, to take them on field trips, to take them to places, to arrange prasad for them. It was her joy in life to see the children, to see the grandchildren of Prabhupada being inspired, being cared for. And how much she was concerned with her godbrothers and godsisters also, especially here at Bhaktivedanta Manor and all over the world. That they be respected, that they be valued. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. How much she loved Bhaktivedanta Manor. How much she loved the devotees here. And over the years, she saw many of her godbrothers and godsisters really sacrifice their lives in the early days to do incredible amounts of services to Prabhupada. And take tremendous risks and practically forsake everything in this world just to serve Prabhupada. That's really what it was like in the 1970s to be a devotee. It wasn't just a part-time thing. Devotees gave up their jobs, they gave up their careers, they gave up their education, they lived in ice cold, they were getting arrested. They were working with their blood, their sweat, their lives. And she was part of it, and she saw it. And even if a person was not so active at the present, even if such a person was having difficulties, she was very concerned that they had given the best years of their life. They must be valued. They must be respected. And Bhaktivedanta Manor is their home. That they gave everything to build it and make it what it was. So it was something very real and something very from the heart. And something that, as far as I could see, it was completely unselfish. She really cared. She really was a pillar of the culture and the society of Bhaktivedanta Manor for all these years. And we all have a great debt to her. And yes, as we said several times, she had her good times and her bad times. She had times of strength and weakness. But one thing that was always consistent is she always really cared. She really wanted to serve the devotees. She really wanted to protect her god brothers, god sisters, the second generation, and she wanted to protect Prabhupada's mission in her way, in her simple motherly way. So in everyone's lives, there can be different versions and opinions of what was the right thing and the wrong thing. But really, as Vaishnavas, we should be looking for the essence. And she did great things for many people. And being in her room at the hospice the last couple days, and seeing so many of our second generation with tears of love and gratitude coming to offer their honor, their respect, and their love for someone who really loved them. Seeing her beautiful children trying to reciprocate with the life that she gave to them. And it is because of that that Prabhupada was there to bless her with the hope, the faith, and the realizations to leave this world with such incredible dignity and devotion. This morning when I came to the hospice, Shutakirti Prabhu called me. It was, I think, within an hour from when she departed. And Jaista Devi, Radha Sangha Devi, Shutakirti Prabhu, they were selflessly serving her day after day after day. And how grateful I am to Shutakirti Prabhu for the example that he showed to me and to the world. Selfless, dedicated service to a Vaishnavi. You know, she was in a state that nobody wants to be around somebody like that. It's cleaning her urine and stool, picking her up and moving her wherever she wanted to go, wherever she had to go. Cleaning her vomit. And she wouldn't let... He wouldn't let anyone else do it. He would not allow anyone else to do it, not even the nurses. Because he didn't want to embarrass her. And she didn't feel embarrassed by him doing it. Because these things that most of us really don't like to do, he really, seriously, spontaneously, enthusiastically wanted to do it. Now, it's not like he's a hog that he likes stool. It's as abominable to him as the rest of us, but he really wanted to do it because he really wanted to serve. He really wanted to help her. He really wanted to reciprocate. And such dedication, such loyalty to another devotee, not just on a material platform, but in trying to do it in such a way to share Prabhupada and Krishna. can I say? You know, Shruti Kirti Prabhu, your selfless service. It's a time that a lot of people would just walk away. Real commitment, a real statement of care, a real testimony of devotion. And with all of that around her, she was very peaceful. And they tell me her last moment, she was just laying there, body totally emaciated. Can't explain what the cancer did to her physically. But she was just laying and she just breathed. That was it. No hard breaths, no deep breaths, just they were telling me it was just so graceful. It was so like natural, just when they were telling me, it sounded like Srila Prabhupada, this is my purport from what I heard, that Prabhupada plucked the sweet, fragrant Kadamba flower of her soul from the tree of her body. Just like that. She just breathed out and Prabhupada went, and then took that flower and offered it to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. So on this very special day, let us offer our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this gift of bhakti and the gift of such beautiful association. And let us from our heart of hearts pray for Prabhupada's blessings to shower upon Amekala Devi and pray for her blessings to shower upon us. And let us take within our heart what, as far as I could see, she wanted more than anything else. That devotees really learn to value each other, respect each other, care for each other, and in that spirit, with great enthusiasm, never leave the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And in the shelter of his lotus feet, to find joy and real family together, hearing about Krishna and chanting the holy names. You sound so pitifully sleepy. Please let us try again. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Shall we do kirtan in honor of Amekala Devi? Shruti Kirti Prabhu, would she like us to dance or to cry? Okay, we'll do the crying part in a few days, and today we will dance. Yes. Actually, Prabhupada taught us that when a very dear, loving devotee leaves this world, it is the time of the greatest sadness. And it is also the time of celebration. Sadness for us, because we are bereft of such a precious soul
such a rare soul who has given their lives and soul life in the service of Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur was beating his head against the rock in separation from the departed Vaishnavas. So we should weep and cry in that sorrow of separation from devotees. It's an expression of love. But at the same time, it is a time of celebration, celebrating their good fortune. They are relieved of this material existence. And either they're going back into the embrace of Prabhupada, being offered directly to Krishna's lotus feet, or they're being elevated to a higher, auspicious, beautiful state of devotion to continue their journey. So we celebrate a person who leaves this world in Krishna consciousness because it's a glorious life. And we should be joyful for that. But sad that we don't have the opportunity to interact with such good, such wonderful, special Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis. So now, in this spirit, we will have kirtan. The lotus feet of Sri Radha Gokulananda.